Good morning, Quinn.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I'm good. How is that COVID flow you've got going, man? Like, every time I saw you at a Zoom conference, that thing was getting longer. I mean, that was glorious hair you had going there.
I was trying to stay inside as much as I can during that. So I don't think any spots are open yet. So, yeah, the hair was getting long.
Hey, tonight's the first night we don't have hockey since this all started. You are a hockey family. Were you in front of the TV last night, or when you guys were done, did you take a break from watching it all?
Yeah, I think like we watched a period or two, but, you know, the Nuggets and Clippers were playing game seven and there's other stuff going on and football's back now. So I think, you know, we like to watch, you know, different sports. So, you know, it hasn't been hockey, especially since I was just there for a while. It's good for a break.
You're not alone. Were you cheering for the Nuggets, or did you want the L.A. matchup?
I wanted the Clippers to lose.
You want it? Why? Are you a Kawhi hater?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like everyone was saying the Clippers would beat the Lakers at the start of the year, so I like that they lost, so.
Well, I don't think anybody saw that. So of the final four in the NBA, who do you like?
I'm a LeBron fan, so I'm obviously going to choose the Lakers, but I think Miami's got a pretty good squad too.
Yeah, I know it could be something like that. Hey, Quinn Hughes joins us this morning. Let me ask you this. You know, it's a strange setup with Zoom calls. We don't get the ability to talk to a lot of the players. And you know what? You don't play hockey in the playoffs and grind it out like you guys did without having things lingering. You had mentioned, you know what, you didn't want to disclose stuff, but it took a while to get going in that Vegas series. What were you playing with that was nagging you a little bit in that last series?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to disclose anything, but I think, you know, I had something bothering me at the start of the series, and then it got better towards the end. I think that, break in the middle of the series helped. But then, you know, we had also had two back-to-backs in that series, so it was really hard to recover, which was really frustrating because obviously you want to play to the best of your ability. I think this break here after has been good just to, you know, get my body right. And I think it's a good lesson to just, you know, I got to stay on top of things and I can't, you know, let things like that linger into something where it's possibly, bothering you.
Quinn Hughes with us here on Sportsnet 650. Go ahead, Per.
Sorry, James. But so, Quinn, it's nothing that you have to see a doctor or anything about, maybe just something you have to rehab so you're set whenever you guys go again?
Yeah. I think it was just something where I needed a week and a half break just to be off the ice. So I think I'm good to go now. Just, frustrating during the time that I was dealing with that. But, in the playoffs, you see everyone's dealing with something. I mean, Braden Point didn't play last night. And so I think that's just the time of the year.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. No Steven Stamkos so far for the Lightning as well. And then with Braden Point, that certainly doesn't help. Quinn Hughes with us here on Sportsnet 650. And did you appreciate Vegas being bounced by Dallas after they had knocked you guys out?
I don't really care. I think once we were knocked out, it doesn't really matter. I don't put a lot of thought into it. I was surprised that they got knocked out in five games. I honestly thought Vegas was probably the best team in the West. And then, but that's just credit to Dallas. They played really good and, it just shows that anything can happen. So, like I said, after we got knocked out, I'm not, that type of guy that, really, would be rooting against them. It's just, it is what it is. Whoever wins, wins.
You played a handful of games, last year, getting you set for your rookie season. I think probably helped you in the offseason prepare, going, okay, I've played, I understand what it'll be like. What did you learn having played now at the highest level, the intense playoff level, that you will learn that you take into whenever next season starts?
I thought it was, really fun, some of the fun hockey I've played, and The biggest thing I think that we all realize is that, you know, we got a really good team and that, you know, we can, you know, we can maybe do something special. So I think it just gave us the confidence to know, or coming into next year, that we got a really good squad. And, you know, people always say the future, the future, the future, but I think, you know, we're there almost. We're, you know, I think the time is almost now. So I think it just gave us the confidence that we can play with those really, you know, elite teams, the NHL. And, you know, I think we're going to carry that into next year. And I think, you know, what it feels like to be on this team right now is that we're all really excited for next season.
Quinn, you look at the success that you had so far this year and playing alongside a lot of it with Chris Tanev. He's an unrestricted free agent. So, like, have you picked up the phone to talk to the owner, Francesco Aquilini, and say, hey, you know, back up the Brinks truck for my boy Tanny here? Just how important was he to your success this season on the ice?
Yeah, I think obviously he's really important. I mean, Chris is you know, been a tremendous player for the Canucks for a long time. And I think he just compliments me really well. He's really skilled. He's smart. He's mature. And then at the same time, you know, in the offensive zone, I think we really connect well. I don't think we played our best offensively. I think it was just in the Vegas series, you know, partly because, you know, I think they had the puck, you know, most of the time. But in the two series before that, I thought we were excellent in the offensive zone, creating chances. And we did that the entire year. So we work really well together. Then we're obviously really close off the ice. He's been, you know, just as big off the ice for me as he has been on the
like
ice.
What?
So
how off the ice?
Just, well, if anyone knows me, I'm not a huge cook. So Chris would always bring me over for dinner. And then, you know, as a young kid, 19-year-old in a new city, you don't really know anyone. Chris was the first person that kind of, you know, brought me in. I think my first day I was there, Chris took me to dinner. And, you know, for a young kid, it's so important to have someone like that that brings you in and just lets you, you know, brings you a part of the team. And so you have a guy there and you can always talk to and count on. And I think if there's ever a problem or if I ever needed anything, Chris, he's just been, I think he's that guy. He's the leader of our team. So that's how off the ice. And regarding your question about trying to get him signed, I think, you know, Jim and Wise are going to do everything they can to get him signed. I think they realize how valuable he is to the team. And, you know, hopefully we get that done.
But when you guys, Quinn, got together probably for a beer or two in the bubble in Edmonton, I mean, you realize it's, you know, this is your first time after a year of pro sports that, in all likelihood, you were saying goodbye to some people. Did you not get that feeling?
Yeah, I mean, that's the weird thing about pro hockey is with the cap, you know, the Jim and Wise are going to be forced to make changes just because of definitely the crazy year with COVID and the cap not, you know, getting any bigger. But that's pro hockey, and I think we all realize that. And you know, a guy I think of is Shals. I love Shals, but we got rid of him, and it just, you know, it's part of pro hockey. And so, I mean, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, I trust in Jim and Wise that they're going to do the best they can. And, you know, for me, it's not really my job to worry about these things, but, you know, it's definitely interesting to see what happens.
Chris, Quinn Hughes here on Sportsnet 650. You talk about Chris Tanev's contract. I mean, you're a year away from your ELC coming up, and we've seen around the hockey world over the last few seasons where teams have tried to make a preemptive strike, lock guys up before you have to go down with that, you know, wait till the contract's up. Has there been any sort of conversation with you and your representatives with the Canucks about maybe trying to come up with something new here this offseason?
No, there hasn't been, and I don't think, you know, there should be. I think, you know, they got to worry about some guys. Like we just talked about Chris and Markey and Toff and some other guys this year. And, you know, so I don't think they could, you know, look at me before they know what's going to happen with those guys. And so, and then on second, you know, I just want to play hockey and, you know, do that to the best of my ability. And I'm sure when the time comes, we'll talk about it. But I think we're probably a little bit, you know, further away for that.
What do you work on now? When you guys left in March, it was such an unknown. You'll play again. We don't know if it'll be December. We don't know where camp is. How do you go about filling your days now, and what do you work on before you get that confirmation as to here's where we go?
Yeah, I don't know. Right now I'm taking a couple weeks off because I want to be hungry when I go back. But, yeah, it's weird. We don't know when the season's going to start. So I think, you know, you kind of just – you're training not for nothing, but it's hard to – envision when it's going to start. So I don't know. I think for me, I'm just going to work on what I usually work on, is just, you know, my overall game, getting faster, stronger, more skilled. You know, so we got a good setup here in Michigan, and I'm looking forward to that. And for me, I think it's a really good opportunity to come in next year and try to get, you know, another 5-10% better.
Quinn, we've talked in the past, and we were talking at the outset of this conversation, you like your ball, you like your NBA, and I'd be curious. You look at how a lot of athletes are wired in the NBA and the approach, and they love to kind of measure themselves against their comparables in terms of, you know, LeBron and Kawhi, and, you know, and James Harden comparing his numbers and all that. You know, you've been measured a lot in a group with young defensemen. I'm sure you constantly hear Cale Makar's name brought up when your name comes up, and obviously, you know, finalists for the Calder. Miro Heiskanen's name comes up when that sort of discussion with Makar. Do you pay much attention to what the other guys are doing, like your kind of peers, that you guys are going to kind of all grow up through the league together? Do you watch what those guys are doing and kind of see what they're doing to kind of say, okay, yeah, all right, let's see what I can do here now?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Of course I watch, and, you know, I'd be naive to say I don't. I obviously watch those guys because they're fun to watch, and then, you know, I also want to see if I can learn anything or take anything from their games. And then, you know, you're always hearing about them. You know, people are, you know, saying, you see this goal, you see that goal, and you're always seeing it. So I think that just motivates me to see what I can do, like you said. And It's pretty cool having a couple guys like that come in the league together. So I'm sure we'll be playing against each other for a long time. And, you know, Miro's in the finals now, so that's pretty cool. And I think that's what me and Cale were trying to do. And it's pretty cool. And hopefully all three of us play a long time.
You know, you are always in the conversation of great young defensemen. Do you learn more? I think for people in Vancouver watching you guys in that series against Las Vegas, there were a lot of people who you see the Vegas Golden Knights play a game, and then we may watch them again for another couple of months when you guys play them. But to see them seven games in a row, and there's a lot of people going, oh boy, Shea Theodore, he can play the game. Did he, you know, did you play against some guys, whether it be on that Minnesota series or seven games against the Golden Knights, where night in, night out, you go, wow, I didn't realize they were that good?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I was just actually saying that someone is, you know, we were talking about the Brodin signing yesterday, and, you know, I said to my brother, I mean, they got a really good decor. They got four guys back there that are really, really good. You know, so I think that Minnesota series, they showed us how good of a team they were. I mean, we were fortunate enough to score in overtime, but that was, you know, probably a closer series than 3-1. And, you know, then we go into the St. Louis series and you see how good O'Reilly and Perron in that line was. And then the Vegas series, and like you said, Shea Theodore was really, really good in that series. And he's probably another guy you should throw in there with, you know, young defensemen. But, you know, it's, like you said, when you watch a team for 5, 6, 7 games, you start to see tendencies, and you start to realize how good guys are.
Can you give us a sense of what your relationship is like with Travis Green and Nolan Baumgartner? Travis is brutally honest as a coach, and maybe and probably not always what you want to hear, but you seem to have a pretty long leash with your coaches and the trust that what you can kind of go out and do. Can you give us a sense
of
what
I think,
relationship is?
They've been unbelievable with me. They're really good coaches. They're great communicators, and they're great motivators. I think they know how to get the best out of me and, you know, other guys. And, you know, they're the type of guys that, you know, you want to win for. You know, I wanted to win those game sevens, obviously, you know, for the city and for our teammates, but, you know, for the coaching staff too. And, you know, I think – as a coach, it's so important to communicate with your players, and I think he does a really good job at that. I've seen a lot of coaches that don't. So, I've been fortunate to have these two definitely in my rookie year, and I think we're all still building. It's only my first year with them, and we got a young group. So I think as the years go on, we'll just get to know each other, better and better. And that's the exciting part is, it's only year one, and we got hopefully a long time.
Is there a moment in that bubble in Edmonton? And I had said to James, when you guys are down 3-1 to St. Louis and you fight back a win, I go, doesn't matter what happens, this group of players will look at that and go, there's no quit in us. Was there a moment and a game, Quinn, where you go, that we grew at that moment?
Yeah. I don't know if I can pinpoint one game, but I can say there was no quit in our group the entire playoffs, I think. And that's, a really exciting thing is, when you're a part of a team that isn't going to quit and it's coming to battle with you, it's pretty exciting. And, I think everyone really wanted to win, and everyone, obviously missed their family, and it wasn't easy being in the bubble, but everyone wanted to win, and everyone gave it 110%, and I think that's something that, you can really appreciate, and which obviously makes it exciting going into next year, because I think we're going to do that again.
How's your fantasy football team doing?
I have two leagues, so I was 2-0 after the weekend, so it was pretty good.
So what's your strategy?
Who are your top picks on your respective teams?
Well, last year I went wide receivers, and this year I went running back, so I was smart to do that. So I got a couple high-end running backs, which I'm happy about.
Well, who's carrying the mail, man? Who was your first pick?
Well, I got Zeke in one of my drafts, and he had two touchdowns, which is pretty good. Yep. And then I actually picked Sanders, running back for Philly. He was injured, but when he gets back, it's going to be pretty good.
They just announced this morning Big Ten football is coming back in Michigan.
Right, yeah, thing. What, huge,
what,
right?
What's going on with your teammates in Michigan? Give us an update of college sports.
Yeah, I was actually over there yesterday with Red Berenson, and it sounds like they're going to try their best to have a year. They got a really good freshman class over there. I'm excited about probably 4 or 5 first round picks, and so they should have a really good year. And I heard they're going to start early or late October, early November. So hopefully that gets going for those guys.
October 24th is the date. Hey, listen, appreciate you doing this. Thanks for taking the time. Nice to catch up with you. I know a lot of our listeners and diehard Canucks fans have certainly enjoyed the run that you took this city on, and the province for that matter, on in the month of August. It was it was a lot of fun as we all tried to celebrate socially distant and be responsible. Last one for me here, Quinn. You were kind of saying earlier this morning that, for as a young player, anything if you ever had a problem or you needed anything, it was Chris Tanev that you kind of looked to. Who's the last player on the team that you would go to for advice or needed something from?
Well, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus.
Come on. That's what this is about.
No, absolutely not. Chris is awesome. I go to Chris first, and then there's probably some guys I wouldn't go to, but that's, just like anything.
Okay, let me ask you this. You said young guy, not great in the kitchen. Did you find a meal that you could come up with as the season wore on?
I didn't give myself enough credit. I can cook a bit, but definitely not as good as Chris.
Okay. You will not cook a meal over the next couple months where you're at home, though, will you?
No, absolutely not. No.
And as James and I brought you on, we were in a conversation about the show Cobra Kai on Netflix. I said, there's no way Hughes has watched it. He's too young, doesn't even remember The Karate Kid. Have you watched Cobra Kai?
I saw it, but I'm not into that, really. I think I've seen Karate Kid, of course, but I haven't checked that out yet.
Wax on, wax off. Stay safe, Quinn. Enjoy your fantasy football, and look forward to playing it when you get back again.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.